Eminent domain is one of the most powerful tools of government. It allows the state and local governments to force the sale of private land for anything deemed of public use or benefit. In return, however, the state is required to pay just compensation. But North Carolina is one of 13 states that allow its Department of Transportation to effectively control private property for years or even decades without paying compensation to the landowner. In part two of our series, The State's Domain, WFAE's Tom Bullock reports on what's known as the MAP Act.
To build or expand roads, rail lines, or bridges, the DOT needs land. They can use eminent domain to force individuals to sell all or part of the land the state needs. But for big projects like beltways around cities, the sheer amount of land needed and the cost of acquiring that land can bust the DOT's budget. Thus, the MAP Act was born.
The MAP Act was passed in 1987, and it's a law that allows DOT to establish official maps of future road corridors.
That's State Representative Rayne Brown, a Republican from Davidson County. In essence, all the DOT has to do to mark a future road corridor is grab their official map, draw what looks like a thick black line around the route where they think a road will be needed someday, and file that map with a county registrar. And that they do, says Brown.
Official maps have been used or being used in at least 24 projects statewide.
North Carolina's MAP Act is used to do one thing and one thing only: make buying the land claimed in eminent domain cases as cheap as possible for the DOT, the state, and therefore taxpayers. And no one denies the MAP Act is incredibly effective at doing just that. But that doesn't make it a good policy, says Representative Brown.
It is one of the most abusive statutes on our books.
The MAP Act is a wonderful narcotic for the Department of Transportation.
Matthew Bryant is a lawyer who represented landowners in a recent high-profile case.
It's just a bad law that allows both the executive branch and the legislative branch to act badly.
Here's how. When the NCDOT draws that thick black line for a future road, what they officially call a protected corridor, the rules for every piece of private property touched by that line change. Gone are the rights of property owners to build improvements on their land, regardless of how their property is zoned. So building an addition on your home or developing a new subdivision are stopped cold. All these restrictions make selling an affected property on the open market difficult. All this is how the MAP Act saves the state and the DOT money, says Bryant.
The state is buying unimproved property or property that has not been upgraded, such as a shopping center or a gas station, or a house for that matter.
Making it cheaper to buy the land through eminent domain when the DOT decides to build a road by artificially depressing the value of private property. This was a concern for the lawmakers who passed the MAP Act in 1987, so they wrote in a time frame to try to minimize the economic damages suffered by landowners. But their language is incomplete. Here's a passage read by a member of the WFAE staff.
Within 1 year following the establishment of a transportation corridor official map or amendment, work shall begin on an environmental impact statement or preliminary engineering.
Note the law only states when an environmental impact statement must begin, but nothing more, which leads to examples like the planned Southern Wake Expressway, says Bryant.
They filed the maps in the 1996-97 time period. They have yet to finish the draft environmental study. I mean, it should not take 20-something years to do the most rudimentary of road planning.
And it's not just in Wake. In Mecklenburg, the first protected corridors for the I-45 Outer Loop extension were filed in 1989. The final segment of that road is due to be completed this June. Some may wait for more than half a century for a road to be built. That estimate comes from the Department of Transportation itself. After attending a public meeting on beltways and loop highway projects in 2010, the chief operating officer of the DOT wrote a frank letter to a member of the public. This excerpt, again read by a member of the WFAE staff.
Under our existing funding sources, we realize approximately $150 million a year of designated loop funds. There are 25 loop projects competing for these funds with a total cost of approximately $8 billion for all 25 projects. Assuming no inflation, we will still be constructing existing urban loops in our state for at least 60 years.
The DOT says they don't keep a statewide tally of how many properties are affected by the MAP Act, but they estimate that number to be around 4,100. Nick Tennyson, the chief deputy secretary of the NCDOT, also estimates,
if we had to buy everything that's covered by the MAP Act today, it'd be over $600 million.
He was speaking at a recent Transportation Committee meeting to discuss a bill sponsored by Representative Rayne Brown and eight others, which would repeal the MAP Act in its entirety.
The state cannot save money on the backs of a few thousand of its citizens.
We could say, okay, we're not going to do anything to protect corridors, and people build in all these corridors.
At the meeting, Representative Nelson Dollar said he too thinks the MAP Act needs to change, but he's not sure how.
Your overall cost to acquire that land in the future is going to be far, far more.
Possibly making some road projects too expensive to build. As for the DOT's Tennyson, he couldn't say much.
We're not really in a position to comment very much on that particular statute.
Because of a court case argued by lawyer Matthew Bryant. The Constitution requires just compensation be paid to landowners when the state uses eminent domain to take their property. The DOT interprets that to be when they actually condemn a property and take possession of the title, which, says Bryant, the DOT won't do until they get around to building a particular stretch of road.
They have basically defended themselves by saying, as long as you can flush your toilets and cook breakfast in your house, sit down and be quiet, we'll condemn you when we condemn you.
So Bryant sued the DOT, claiming those restrictions meant his client's properties had effectively been taken by the state years ago, and the DOT, he argued, had to pay up now. In the trial, Bryant lost, but in February, an appellate court overturned that ruling. The DOT has now appealed the case to North Carolina's Supreme Court. For WFAE News, I'm Tom Bullock.